Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, April 17th.
Good morning.
And I can smell the weekend already.
I know, it's close again. These weeks go so fast, it's
they
kind
do,
of scary.
Huh? It is, we get older faster.
I know, like life is flying by, but I guess it's when life goes fast, it means you're happy, something like that.
Yeah, that you're having fun. It keeps you busy, yeah.
I really killed that saying, but that's the meaning of it.
Yeah, they say time flies when you're having fun, right?
That's it, there we go. Team effort, that.
Do they say that in England, too?
They do, yeah.
They do, okay.
So I've been saying it all my life, but I guess.
I see, okay. Well, I'll just figure it's from your frustration with a bad hair day, I guess.
I know.
And maybe it made you forget.
Right.
But, I mean, nobody can tell. I mean, your hair looks the same, you know,
yeah,
to me. So
I guess it's a girl thing.
It
when
is.
You know that you're having a bad headache, you know. And especially on the days where you don't want to have a bad headache,
right,
you always do.
Right,
so it's just one of those things.
Wow.
And I went to the baseball game last night in Anaheim to watch the Angels and the Oakland A's.
Okay.
And I mean, it was so long. It started at 7 and the Oakland was up 4 from like the third inning all the way up till the very last. And of course, the Angels, Drew, I don't know the exact lingo. Uh-huh. So it went into the extra innings and
right,
there was 12 of them. And it was, by the end, I was like, can somebody just score? I don't even care who.
Yeah.
Someone just score so I can leave because this is so long. It was a lot of
fun.
So
they were tied with the score.
Yeah.
And so it went on like for the whole game like that?
No. Yeah. Well, when you are tied, you go into extra innings
right,
and then no one scored in the 10th inning
or
the 11th. So it went into the 12th.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before. That's a long game.
Yeah, and the people next to us were just being really rude.
Uh-huh.
We were Oakland fans, and they were just brutal.
Really?
Screaming at this one guy who's probably going to be dropped into the minors. But just, and he was right. We were sat by first base, and he could hear everything.
Really?
And I felt so bad for this guy.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to cry and be like, you guys are so mean.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one out there. He's the one earning the money. Don't be mean to him.
Right, that's true.
I hate
true,
fans like that it just so brutal, and
uh-huh,
I just think it's so
I know.
Mean.
Anybody who's that deep into sports and stuff is weird in my book,
right?
You know? I mean, you can watch the games and enjoy it and get into the league and all that
uh-huh,
stuff, but to behave like that is unacceptable.
Yeah,
you know?
I just thought it was just so mean. I just
yeah,
wanted to be like, God, just shut up.
Yeah.
You guys
get
are so annoying.
Out of here,
yeah, yeah, and they were ruining for everyone around them. Like, there was so
yeah,
many little kids.
Uh-huh.
But it was a lot of fun. I love baseball games.
Yeah.
They're just relaxing, and uh-huh, the Angel Stadium is beautiful.
Oh, really?
So nice.
Oh, is
yeah,
it nicer than Dodger Stadium?
I haven't been to Dodger
oh,
Stadium.
Oh, okay. So you can't.
But I've heard that the Angels is one of the nicest in the country.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was beautiful.
Sounds
they
good.
They have like rocks with water, with a waterfall. And
right. So the game started at 7. What time was it over?
Midnight.
Midnight?
Yeah.
A 5-hour game.
Yeah.
Oh, my God,
it was
man,
a long one.
That's a long
it
ass
was long,
game, man.
Yeah. But the hot dogs and beer.
Yeah,
perfect,
that kept you going, huh?
And nachos.
Yeah.
And the chocolate malt and the french fries.
Oh, God.
I
you
ate a
love
lot
fast
last night.
Food, don't you?
I know. It's so bad. I've got to eat better.
It's okay. This is the time to enjoy
but
it.
But especially at a baseball game, that's, you have to eat a hot
yeah,
dog
you
and
do,
that kind of
you know,
stuff. Yeah,
of course, you know. And I sometimes I just crave fast food, you know?
I know
like
me
late
too,
at night if I'm hungry or something, you know, it's
right,
like yeah, give me like a hamburger or something.
So seriously. And chocolate. I crave a lot of chocolate. And my mom just sent me a package from England. And it was full of chocolate. And I knew, and I'm trying to cut down. And I knew before she said, I'm sending you a package. I was like, I know there's going to be so much chocolate in here. Yeah. And I just can't resist. And I end up waking up during the night. And I don't even think I know that I'm waking up. But I eat chocolate.
Really?
And it's so...
You don't know you're waking up, but you're eating the chocolate.
No, and I'm eating the chocolate. And then I wake up in the morning and I'm like, dang it, I've got less chocolate. I know I've eaten it during the night. It's so
wow. Does that concern you that you don't remember?
Well, I think it's... When I have chocolate in my house, especially chocolate from England, I love chocolate. So I think I just want to eat it. So when I'm hungry during the night, I'll wake up and I'll just eat chocolate.
Oh, wow.
But I really don't. It's like, you know, when you're subconscious. You're half asleep. And, yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Such a bummer.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I ate my chocolate because I don't appreciate it during the night.
Yeah. I know. I got to have a few pieces of chocolate every day to get going. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Lindt chocolate or something, anything.
Yeah. And now it's in Easter. I love the Easter chocolate. The Cadbury eggs.
Yeah.
The little eggs. I love chocolate.
I know. Chocolate is amazing. We have a guest waiting here in the wings, and we're going to bring him in just a second. I wanted to tell you, I mentioned to you about the pillow. You talked about it yesterday. 2 days ago, we had the founder of My Pillow. And you can find it at mypillow.com. And he's got a revolutionary pillow that he advertises everywhere on infomercials and in the papers and stuff. And it's a pretty big company by now. It was very interesting at how the pillow works and everything.
Yeah.
So you tried it 2 nights ago for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it was great. You slept through the night.
Yeah,
which
I did.
Is amazing.
I know.
Well, I got to tell you, I used it last night. And I use an orthopedic pillow, so I'm used to like having comfort and stuff, right? I put that on my bed, put my head on it. My head just sort of like sank in it. But not too much, you know?
The perfect amount.
Perfect amount, you know? And I thought, wow, I love this, you know, because my regular pillow is hard, you know, for your neck and stuff. So I got to tell everybody, go and get it and use the code that he gave us. It's LA Talk Radio. If you guys go to mypillow.com, if you have problems with sleeping, with your neck, with headaches, getting up in the morning, anything. And I slept pretty well. You know, sometimes I wake up as well, and I didn't.
Yeah.
It was a great feeling. So I'm gonna start using it, and I highly recommend it.
I don't know what it is about. It's a super comfy pillow, but it's not too soft. It's literally the perfect, which is what he was saying he wanted when he created it.
Right.
It's the perfect amount of
And you can shape it the way you want, and it stays that way.
Yeah.
You know, which is amazing, because most pillows, you'll bunch it up, and then it flattens again, you know.
Definitely.
So I think this is great, you know. I mean, I thank them for bringing this, and...
Seriously. Now we get to try it.
Yeah,
and
I will buy some
for
people I know that have problems. I don't know how much it is, but we should check out the website and stuff. But I guess you guys can find out. They're going to give you, I think he said
20%.
20% if you put in LA Talk Radio in there. So go ahead and do that.
And get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, get a good night's sleep. I mean, and I went to sleep earlier than normal, so I'm a little more refreshing. Although it was still hard to get up in the morning. You
know? Always is.
Yeah, it always is, man.
But not morning people. It's always hard to get up in the morning.
Yeah, you know, and the funny thing is I used to be a morning person. I still love mornings. But if I have a chance to sleep in, I do, you know, because I stay up late.
Definitely.
So we talked about that already to death. I also wanted to mention, I saw your, you posted something on Facebook about your AfterBuzz show with Maria, right? And I don't know where I saw it. Oh, I know where it was.
On my website?
On your Facebook, you tweeted that somebody did your site like... what do they call it?
For the mobile device. I created my website's. I launched it probably in November, but my domain is different. My domain is charlottebroadbenttv.com, and now it looks so good on your mobile. I was so excited when I clicked on it.
Yeah, it's called Responsive Design, and it's cool that he did it for you because then you know the site does look good on phones, and on tablets and stuff. Well, that's cool. So yeah, so I clicked on it and went to your website, and I guess I saw the video there.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you lead the conversation, sometimes somebody else, or is it always you?
Yeah, it depends what show.
Right.
I've hosted a couple shows. I'm doing one right now for Eric and Jesse. Eric Decker, who plays for the Broncos, and Jesse James is a country singer. And I lead that. But then I also do another show that Total Divas, which is about WWE wrestling, that I don't lead.
I see.
So, it varies about who leads. But.
Yeah. It's very cool. You guys should check it out. Go to Charlotte's website. What's it called? The Road to Making It or
something?
It's
charlottebroadbenttv.com.
Okay, and that redirects them to the other one, right?
Yeah, but now it's a masked forwarder. It's just Charlotte Broadbent TV.
Okay, all right. Okay, sounds good. So, yeah, I guess you check it out. There's a lot of shows that you've
done. It's a
pretty
website.
Yeah,
I love my website.
It is. So you blog on there, too?
I do.
Really?
I blog, too.
Yeah,
I blog and
it has a lot of. Do you talk about things on your mind and stuff like that? Or?
It's mostly motivational stuff.
Okay.
My blog post yesterday was, "What do you do when someone throws you lemons?" And it's kind of, you know, that saying.
Make lemonade.
Yeah, but what if you don't want to make lemonade?
Right.
You know, so you have to kind of.
Yeah,
you have to get over the obstacle of being thrown things that aren't necessarily what you expected or what you wanted.
Right. And how do you come up with that stuff? I mean, is it things you think about during the day?
I kind of a bunch of different, maybe things that I think about or videos I've listened to or just things on TV that'll just spark a thought. And then I'll write down, I just wrote down that sentence, "What do you do when life throws you lemons?" And then I created the blog from there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So just kind of things that come to me usually.
So it's good. It's kind of an outlet for you for ideas. And
yeah, definitely.
Like that. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's very good.
Yeah.
I wish I had time for something like that. You know,
it's getting hard.
It's time consuming.
Yeah, right. It is. Yeah. I need to just sit down and because to start with, I was sitting down for 4 hours and writing a bunch.
Yeah.
So I had one because it's every Wednesday I'll release a blog, blog post. But now it's getting. I don't have like. And it's hard to come up with the ideas all at once.
Yeah,
I
imagine.
It's kind of just when they come to me. So,
I know. I started writing a blog back, I would say, 7 years ago or something. And I only did it for a couple months, you know, and sporadically too. But what I would do is things in the news that would spark something in me. I would comment on it and all that stuff, you know. So that was pretty cool. And it's still online somewhere on Blogspot or something. And I can, so sometimes I check it out. I go, wow, you know, that's where my mind was at that time. So it's cool to, you know,
look back, definitely.
And document the things that you think about and say and write, you know.
Yeah, I enjoy doing it. My website, it's kind of an overview of me as well.
Yeah.
You have some of my videos, my writing, photos, so, and my Twitter and Instagram are linked into it. So
you're out there. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, you're there.
Yes, you can find me.
Yeah, no privacy, no hiding from the public there. All right, well, we're going to bring in our guest now who's sitting here patiently. And his name is Paul Osborne. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yes. Pull the mic towards you so you don't have to lean in
there
so much.
You go. How's that?
Even more. Even more.
Even more?
Yeah.
More? How's that?
There you go.
Okay.
Now you're comfortable so you don't have to lean in. Well, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. You contacted me through a mutual friend.
Yes.
And you wanted to come on the show and do what now?
Well, I want to just shamelessly promote my movie.
Okay. Oh, so you've made a movie.
Yes. It's called Favor. Do a favor. It's basically the old saying, a friend helps you move, a good friend helps you move a body.
Oh, wow.
And it comes out on video on demand on Tuesday. So,
oh, wow. How cool. Yeah. How long is the film?
It's 102 minutes.
Really? So full feature?
Full feature. We just did the festival circuit with it. We did a year on the circuit, won some awards, did a little theatrical here and there. Our mutual friend saw it at Dances with Films last summer.
Really?
We had they have a green carpet, not a red carpet, because they want to be different.
Yeah.
So
that
had,
is different.
We had a photographer there, and we had the cast coming up, and I'm like, our friend Mike, Mike, come on in and do the carpet. So he came in, and we brought the actual shovel from the movie, because, you know, hide a body. We have a shovel. And we didn't clean the shovel off since we shot, so it still had all its original filth from the shoot.
Really?
And people were able to pose with the shovel and, you know, hit each other with it in pretend
Very
ways.
Cool.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. But yeah, so the movie comes out on iTunes and Vudu and every major cable provider, PS3, Xbox, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's everywhere. So if you want to demand it, into your home, you can in pretty much any way you want.
So what? So yeah, if I want to watch it, where's the first place I can should go? Like Netflix or something? Or?
Well, it won't be on Netflix for a few more months.
Okay,
nothing subscriber based like Hulu Plus. It'll eventually get there, but right now it's literally click to watch.
Okay,
pay per click kind of thing.
I see.
iTunes is my jam.
Right.
Like, that's where I like to go. I have an Apple TV, and I can just, watch movies. I have a toddler, so we don't – that's – forget that's going to the theater, man. That's it. Like, he goes to bed, and we're watching stuff that way. So that's my preferred way to watch.
It's amazing how differently people consume entertainment today, you know?
Yeah.
It used to be very simple. You'd have a cassette tape or something, or a regular book or TV, and that was it,
Right.
You had three channels, and that was it. Now now it's like, yeah, where are you going to watch this, And what am I going to watch? And so you consume entertainment through through Apple TV. Some people use Netflix. Some people use Amazon, Hulu, all these things, And so it's really hard to make it, I think, for any company today.
It really is, especially a new company like Hulu's pretty new.
Right.
For them to kind of break through and get where that's what people want to view their TV on, their shows on.
Right.
It's tough.
Yeah, it is. And all these companies are competing. Then you have cable TV and web TV and all that stuff. It's like, as a person, you go, well, where am I going to spend my time being entertained? I only have a limited time.
It's called read a book.
Yeah, there you go. And that's what I do.
Well, it's more complicated for us in the entertainment business. For the consumer, it's simpler. Like, whatever you want to watch movies on, you pretty much can. Like, if you have an Xbox 360, you can watch my film on that. If you like Amazon, you can watch it on that. If you want to watch, I don't have any of that stuff, but I have Charter Cable. You can, pay-per-view it right on there. So for the consumer, it's like, but they always put advertising everywhere they can. They have billboards, and they're finding ways to put it like on escalators, so when the stairs separate, you see it there. And T-shirts and little monitors in the corners and posters everywhere. Now it's getting that way with entertainment. Like, pretty soon you'll be able to project a movie on your water bottle. Like, oh, look, my favorite movie's available on my Kirkland water bottle.
Might as well be, right?
Oh, well, my God. For us in the business, though, it's so many different options. Like, you have to make sure you get your movie absolutely everywhere for anybody to see it. And then you really got to bang the drum loudly, because there's a lot of movies being made these days.
That's true, yeah. So you have to really, be adept at distribution and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's got to be pretty hard. What is the process if you want to be seen on Netflix or something? Do you have to specifically go to them and negotiate something, or is it something you can just click on and go on the website?
They won't Netflix. There are some services like Amazon. Anybody can get on Amazon,
right?
Pretty much any. You want to self-publish your book? You want to put your movie on there? You can do that. Vimeo's the same way.
Great vehicle.
Yeah, it's a great vehicle. YouTube is the same way. Vimeo's the same way. But things like Netflix and iTunes, those are the two kind of biggies. They won't deal with individual filmmakers. They want to deal with distributors. So there's all these new companies that are sort of distributors in name. They're aggregators. And what they do is they will serve you up to iTunes, Netflix, and these different companies.
Right.
They'll do all the distribution in terms of delivering the movie to them, negotiating the deals, but they won't do any advertising or follow-up or publicity or the usual things that a studio would do.
Right.
And that's left to the filmmaker. And that's actually the new model. That's actually what our deal is. We're with Gravitas Ventures, and they do some publicity, some marketing. For the most part, it's on us. And we work with them. They're definitely hands-on about it.
Uh-huh.
But the onus is on us to place, to be our own publicity, to be our own publicist, to contact Sam.
Yeah, there you go.
And say, just go on the show and not have
everybody does that. Most of our guests that contact us are people that do their own promotion and stuff. You get a lot of PR people as well, admittedly. But at the same time, you have to really do the promotion yourself. Yeah. It's hard to get published today or, get a distribution for a film.
Right. But at the same time, if you do want to have self-publication, you can do it much more easily today than you could back in the day. It doesn't have to be a physically printed book, or it can be a streamed movie. It's a lot. You can do it from your laptop, which is pretty
cool.
I think it makes the journey more interesting and more fun, and you appreciate it more when you're doing the work and it's not someone else that's like, oh, you have to go here and here and here and here. When you book the gigs and you're booking the publicity, it makes it more real, and that's my opinion.
Well, I mean, it's definitely a lot of work, and some people just don't like doing it. I actually kind of like it. But you definitely have more control.
Yeah.
Like, we have an iTunes promotion right now that I'm going to tell you about right now.
Yeah, let's hear about it.
If you rent or purchase Favor on iTunes the day we come out, Tuesday, April 22nd, or if you've pre-ordered it on iTunes and you email us at info@favormovie.com with some kind of proof of purchase, it can be your iTunes receipt, it can just be a screen cap of your laptop showing your iTunes window, whatever it is, just something that shows you've rented or purchased the film on that date or pre-ordered it, and we'll send you back an exclusive link to watch our half-an-hour behind-the-scenes comedy documentary, Party Favor.
Wow.
And what was that email again?
info@favormovie.com.
Very cool.
That's easy. Yeah. So now let's talk a little bit about the film and everything itself. Sure. Tell us first what the plot is about. What is it about?
Well, it actually is about a friend helps you move, a good friend helps you move a body. About two friends, guys who've been like pals since they were knee high, and they've gone in very different directions. They were at the same starting line, but now one is got, you know, upper middle class, white collar job, you know, pretty wife, big house, doing well, baby on the way. The other one is unemployed, divorced, lives in his dead parents' house, you know, scraping by, you know, scruffy. The more well-to-do one is having an affair, fling with a waitress, and she falls and accidentally dies in their motel room. Wow. So now he's screwed. He's like, well, yeah, what do I do? I mean, if he does the right thing, quote unquote, he goes to the authorities, his marriage is over, his career is over,
right,
potential criminal investigation, like his whole life is just thrown asunder. He can't really turn to anybody in his current circle of friends. So who does he turn to? That one guy. We all have that one guy, Sam. Yeah. That one guy in our past who's like, we've known him forever, and we really don't hang out with him that much, but we still call him our friend.
Right.
And because he's kind of outside the circle and he's kind of this something familial about being friends that long, he turns to this guy, to the Marvin, and says, hey, can you help me get rid of the body?
Right.
And Marvin agrees. But then it throws the balance of power in their relationship out of whack, because now Marvin has something on Kip. And he envies a lot of what Kip has, and things spiral out of control from there. I can't tell you much more than that.
Yeah. Don't give away the whole story.
I wrote it for the two lead actors, two friends of mine who are both terrific actors who weren't working. And I thought, well, this is silly. Like, as a filmmaker, if you suddenly find you have a tank in your backyard, you're going to make a movie about that tank.
Right, exactly.
You know, wow, I got a tank, a World War II tank. Wow. So I had these two actors that I'm like, I didn't realize what powder kegs they were until I saw their work. So I wrote this for them, and it's essentially a two character piece of them really escalating things against each other.
Wow.
So you're the filmmaker. So did you write the script or?
Yeah, I wrote the script. I directed it and I shot it and I cut it.
Wow.
So I didn't cater it though. That's the one thing I didn't do. There would have been a lot more chocolate on set. Back to your chocolate comments. I'm a big chocolate fanatic. I wanted to know, the pillow that let you sleep through the night, did that prevent you from getting up and eating your Cadbury cream eggs?
Yeah.
It did. That's a good pillow.
Yeah.
Because I love those things.
Because I didn't wake up during the night at all the night before.
You didn't find like a jar, empty jar of Nutella in your bed? Nothing like
so
that.
So I didn't even need to get up and eat.
Wow. I'm going to have to get that
so
pillow.
So this is cool. So you produced the whole thing too?
I have two producers, actually.
Oh, okay,
I'm the
cool
executive producer.
Right.
But my wife, Leslie, produced it with me, and also Tiffany J. Shuttleworth produced it. So I didn't all by myself. I had a very strong team, but it's a small movie. We had a crew of about six.
Yeah, but it's still, it's a major undertaking, you know, to do anything like that.
Well, we shot at our house.
Oh, really?
Part of it's in our house, and my wife was pregnant.
Yeah.
She was pregnant when we were in pre-production. When we were shooting, we had the baby. So we had this little tiny baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so she was working days as well at a studio. So she was doing that and then taking care of the baby night and producing a film while we shot in our house.
Yeah.
It was
Wonder Woman.
She's like, yeah, let's not do that. Let's find a different way to do that next time.
Yeah. I know, but life happens, you know, as you plan other things, you know. So this is cool. Now, how did the story come about? Is this something you had nagging in you for a long time? Or did you sit down and say, I want to write a film? This is what it's going to be about.
Well, I wanted to write something for these two actors, and I came up with these two characters and wanted to come up with a kind of a situation to throw the relationship out of whack. So it all kind of came from that. But I think the core of the story actually comes from, and doesn't the film has nothing to do with social media necessarily, but for me, a lot of where it comes from is the way I respond to Facebook and Twitter, mainly Facebook. And you're probably old enough to get this. You're probably not. but Sam is. Sam and I are. You know, for a good portion of your life, there was no social media. So when someone fell out of your life, they were gone. Like your childhood buddy that you didn't keep up with, didn't write to. They were out of your hair, old coworkers, whatever. But now with Facebook, your entire life is in the room at once. Mm-hmm. Like I'll post something on my page, and all of a sudden, like my mom will post on it, then my 16-year-old daughter will post on it, and then my guy I went to junior high with will post on it, and then a guy I worked with when I was 25 will post on it, and my current boss will post on it, and like my other buddy will post on it. Like, what is this? These people don't know each other at all, and they're all posting on my little. And it's just so weird to see like my mom. And, you know,
this guy
who lives next door to me now, like arguing with like my mechanic that I knew when I was 23. It's just very strange.
It is. But it's cool, huh?
It is. When you put it like that, it's very weird.
It's very weird. It's like, it's like all of a sudden, all these, you know, and like I said, like when you've had been used to like this, you know, and the thing that got me was when someone emerges from your past that you're like, oh, yeah, I like that guy. You accept the friend request. You're really happy to catch up with them. And you're like, the guy, because I'm personally very bad at keeping up with people with regular, like, you know, sending letters and phone calls. Social media is made for me. It's perfect. Like, oh, great. I really like this guy, Jared Davis from Denver, Colorado. Like, you know, like, we and I were good buddies. I'm so glad to, you know, whatever. But then there's always that guy that or a couple people that you weren't necessarily friends with, or maybe you knew them, but that, you know, they've decided to come find you.
Right.
They comment on everything.
And they comment on everything. I'm like, I never really liked this guy. Like, we were friends for maybe half a second in seventh grade. There was one guy in particular who I wasn't really friends with in junior high. We knew each other. We kind of hated each other in high school. And he decides to find me on Facebook. We have a ton of mutual acquaintances from high school.
Right.
And I'm just like, okay, I guess I'll accept it. So I accepted it, and I felt obliged to accept it. I accepted it, and all of a sudden, this guy's posting noxious stuff all over my page. Like, really nasty, like,
people do that.
Uber right-wing things. They have nothing to do with what I'm writing about.
Right.
Like, and I'm just like, well, I don't get that political on my page. And he's like, you know, like, hey, look at my kid. Oh, yeah, well, you know, George Bush was called, you know, whatever. And so finally, I'm like, I got so – I was about to tell him off on a post. I'm like, why am I even bothering? I'm just going to defriend the guy.
Right.
Exactly. Like, think about that. Why does it make you think, ooh? Because I'm not related to him. We don't live in the same city. We don't live in the same state. I'll never see him again in the flesh. We have nothing in common.
Right.
And so why do I feel obligated? Why is it an ooh? And it was. I defriended him. I didn't say anything. I didn't say, I'm going to defriend you. I just click. And the next day, there's this firestorm, like on my high school, like, group page. Paul defriended Eric, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And
It's a crazy thing that it is, but because it's one of those where it can backfire. I mean, I know a girl that I've been defriended, and then she defriends me, and then she adds me back, and then she defriends me, and then she adds me back. And I'm like, what are you doing? How do you have this much time in your day to like go and keep defriending me and adding me back?
Right.
But it's just, I don't know, the idea of defriending someone is like, ooh, you're defriending someone?
Right, you're like rejecting them.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But the thing is this, look, it's almost like you invited someone to your house, or you agreed to invite him to your house,
because
that's what he wanted. And he started behaving like shit, you know, like crazy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you throw him out.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. You know?
Quietly asked him to leave. And there were people like defending me. People like, well, how could he dare to do that? Well, he doesn't really even know him. And just to me, it was just strange, like, wow, you know, it's really, we were at the same starting line, but all of a sudden we're such different places.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I'm a pretty open guy. Like, I don't really, it's a big deal for me to defriend somebody. Like, anybody can be my friend on Facebook.
Right.
I'm such a loser. Like, please be my friend. So, you know, or follow me on Twitter or whatever. But, like, this guy was just in my face. I'm like, I'm just going to just get rid of him.
Yeah.
And I did. And,
Good for you.
But that the sort of that emotional core of when does a friendship expire and how much of a friendship or how much of a relationship with someone is just inertia or obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And how much of that is, you know, and also, you know, to get back to the movie a little bit, one character is far more successful in life than the other one at that stage of their lives. And I've gone on Facebook, and there are people that I've gone much farther than me, and I kind of want to bask in their glow a little, and I kind of feel like a little suck up, you know, and like, hey, guy, you know, and then at the same time, there are people who are less successful than me, and they do the same thing to me, and I kind of feel like, all right, you know, I guess I feel like I'm almost doing them a favor, and I don't, why do I feel that way? That's not really cool. That's not really right. Mm-hmm. But that's sort of the emotional dynamic, and so I kind of wanted to capture that in the movie. That's sort of, as I was writing, as I was kind of figuring out what I wanted to do with these actors, that's sort of what came out of it.
Yeah, that's pretty insightful, though. I mean, it's pretty cool. So how long did it take to make the film?
I wrote it in about 3 months. We tweaked it for a couple of weeks, raised the money on Kickstarter.
Really?
Yeah, we did that November of 2010. Shot it in 2011, the summer of 2011. And then it took about a year and a half before we were done with the movie.
Oh, wow.
We played last year in 2013. We did a bunch of film festivals and some small theatrical engagements, and here we are now.
Yeah.
So when you shoot something that's 102 minutes long, it took you, how long did it take you to shoot it?
3 weeks.
So it took you 3 weeks. Wow, that's not that much.
Eighteen days. We shot fast. We did shoot
fast.
And
then how long does that take to edit?
Well, that takes me a lot longer. But it depends who you are. Like my buddy Scott Storm, I wrote a film he directed years ago. He cut the thing in 2 weeks. Wow. Like, it was crazy.
Wow.
He's just a speed demon. I'm a much more measured editor. I'm much more, like, timid. And so it takes me a lot longer. But when I'm done with it, it's pretty close to a final cut.
Yeah.
So it took me about a year to cut the film, maybe a little bit less. Mm-hmm. But shooting, I'm much faster at, because I used to be an assistant director. I know how a set works. I kind of know how to manage a crew and move. Also, I thought it's smart to rehearse the actors beforehand.
Right.
So we did like months of rehearsals, just, you know, so when we got to set, the actors weren't, hey, you know, where am I coming from? Where am I in my headspace? What's the nature of this scene? What's the subtext? What do I really mean? We discussed all that at length. We even did the blocking. So when we got to set, I literally just adjust the blocking that we already knew.
Right.
And they'd hop in and we'd be shooting right away. And we also shot the thing a bit like a documentary. So we used a handheld camera, which I operated, which made it go a lot faster. And we used natural and or available light and or source lighting for the most part.
Right.
So if there was a light in the room, that was the light that we used. We would put in our own, you know, proper movie bulb in it. So it was enough light, but we wanted it to feel very naturalistic.
Right.
So that was a way to keep it moving faster. And also, I made Super 8 movies when I was 11 as a teenager. Uh-huh. And that's a crew of one. Your friends come over and you got the camera. It's literally all on you. So I knew how to move quick and fast and dirty by myself.
Right.
It was applying a lot of things I'd learned. And just fortunately, we were able to shoot, you know, quickly. We never really went over – we didn't really have long days either. We went over 12 hours only once. Usually it was like a 10-hour, 8-hour day.
How many takes did it take? Because when I sit and edit, I mean, just from little things that I do, I have like 5 takes and I'm trying to like, which one do I like? And then it's – some are so similar. It's like, okay, just pick one. You know, so I feel like that would be when you're doing something this big – to find the take that you really wanted would be really hard.
Yeah, it's tough. What I do, now we're getting really nitty gritty. What I do as an editor is I will go through all the takes, and I would shoot like long takes. Like the script has kind of longer, more naturalistic scenes. So we have a 6-minute scene, a 5-minute scene, a 7-minute scene.
Wow. And was that cutting or anything?
Well, we would, you know, we'd cut in the scene, but I mean, it would stay, we'd let the scene play out. So what we'd shoot, because we're shooting digitally, I would just let them go. So if they screwed up, I'd just say, start over. So we had some 8-minute takes sometimes, some long takes, and I'd let them go through the whole scene. If a boom popped in, I'd just keep going because I knew we would be cutting throughout the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of long takes and a lot of takes.
Yeah.
So what I would do is I kind of pre-cut the scene in my head where I wanted the beats to fall and the cuts. And I would go through and I go to all the takes of, say, these 3 lines that where I'm going to be not cutting. And I look at all 3 of those lines and I pull all of them into my sequence and look at each one. And I literally measure. So I wouldn't judge the entire take. I would judge just the takes that I liked for those 3 lines for that one moment.
Right.
Wow, I can see how that takes so long.
Yeah.
And you have to have a lot of different skills when you do it all yourself, you know? I mean, absolutely. Yeah. But you always have to have people around you also, because you can do a lot, but you can't do everything, you know? And but you know, it's interesting, you were talking about lighting, and I just been learning a little bit about lighting because we're going to start using video at the new station, and lighting is so fascinating, you know. It's like sculpting almost, you know. It's like the light is your paint, and you use the natural light like you mentioned and whatever supporting light you have and stuff, but lighting is just so so interesting.
It can make you look really good or really bad.
Exactly. Sensitometry. And color balancing and all sorts of. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of stuff to know. And so you said you have a background in the movie industry.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I made movies all through my childhood. And then I went to film school. And then I worked in production for a couple of years. I was a PA. I did some production assistant. I did some camera work. I did some sound. I did some props. I was an assistant director. I got sick of that because when you're shooting, you know, on someone else's crew, you don't have time to do any of your own writing.
Yeah.
So then I quit that and I started. Yeah, I went into post. So I've been working as an editor for a long time and also writing while I did that. Which the editing and writing are very similar mental vibe,
right?
And a similar setting, so it made it easier. So
because you're telling the story in both instances, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it's just you and a machine for the most part. So the trick was to make sure that I didn't burn out doing one for the other. Like if I'm going to be, if I'm working on a script, make sure I save some juice when I'm writing. As if I edit something first, try to save some of the mental juice for later.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Now, did you always like to write?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you would write different things and stuff, not necessarily for film, right?
Yeah. No, the writing, since I think that's the kind of the core of who I am. Like my father is the same way. He's always like, oh, you should just. He was always like, you just be a novelist. Just forget the film thing. Just be a novelist. I would write books in high school, and I would bind them at my dad's office, and I would sell them.
Really?
Well, originally, I was giving them away, and my dad's like, you're using up way too much paper and binding. Yeah. You need to pay me. Yeah. So I would charge people what it cost me to make them. So it was like $2 to make it, so I would charge them $2 to have it. And then I started charging $3 because I could make
it. Good for you, because you became a businessman.
I would sell these silly things, and kids that, you know, couldn't stand me, you know, and make fun of me or were reading my books.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Wow, so this is nice. So you always like that, and that's why you mentioned reading early on, because you're probably a big reader too. Right?
I used to be before the children came.
Yeah, now, I know.
Can the sleep pillow make a toddler not kick you in the face at 3 a.m?
It could probably do anything you want. This pillow is magical.
It is.
He crawls in bed with us around 2 or 3, and then he man checks me with his feet all night. It's really kind of terrible.
Really, huh?
Yeah, and then he wakes up refreshed. Like, this is great. I'm waking up with mom and dad. I'm like, just shut up, kid.
How old is he now?
He's 3.
Oh, yeah?
He's 3.
It's a great age, you know, but it does require a lot of your time and attention. I know
Totally. He discovered I can kind of talk. I can kind of do a bad impersonation of Gru from Despicable Me.
Uh-huh.
So now he wants me to be Gru. Can Gru read me a bedtime story? Okay, Gru will read you a story now. And it becomes all about that.
Wow, that was good.
You see that movie so much. It's like it's on the hot.
I know, that's true. That's like the hottest
Minions,
thing with little kids right now.
We will crowdfund our trip to the moon. Yeah. We'll steal the moon. Now's a good time to send out your resumes.
Oh my God, that's such a good movie. I love it. It's one of my favorites.
It's a great movie.
It's such a good movie.
No, annoying sounds. Just the way he says no, annoying sounds. Like, this is so like delicious to hear his Steve Carell.
And I thought I was going to be disappointed with the second, and I wasn't.
It was really good, right?
Yeah,
I was. I liked it too. I was disappointed in the second Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. That wasn't as good as the first one.
Yeah. I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's pretty good. I see every kid's movie.
Yeah, a million times too,
a million
right?
times.
Yeah, I know.
Thank God the Lego movie was good because...
That's what they say. It was pretty good.
It was pretty good, man. Yeah. It was a lot of jokes for adults in there.
Yeah.
Like Batman makes his own music because he's so dark and nasty. Like, hey, Batman, we have to say, yeah. Check out my new jam. If you go on YouTube, you can find his like Batman jam. It's like darkness, black coffee, other things that are dark. No parents. It's hysterical.
Wow, that's pretty funny.
I'm getting off on a tangent, I know.
Yeah. Now, are you originally from L.A.?
I am, actually. St. John's Hospital, Santa Monica.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Santa Monica, that's where you were born? Is that where you grew up?
No, I grew up on Butler Avenue in like West L.A., I think, until I was 4, and then I moved to Denver. Because that's what you did in the 70s. You moved to Denver.
That's true. Yeah. With your parents, with your
family. With my parents. And my wife, actually, it's funny, my wife was born in Long Beach. She moved to Denver around the same time, and then I met her in high school in Denver.
Oh, wow.
And we both
lived
here.
Oh, huh?
Yeah.
So you were meant to meet, but somewhere else.
High school sweethearts.
No, I was too afraid to ask her out in high school.
Aww.
It wasn't until we re-met out here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's
we ran into each other at Astro Burger by Paramount. We're like, hey, I know you. And
wow.
So, yeah.
And how cool. And you ended up getting married.
Oh, yeah. She's my friends from high school make fun of me because she was like the hot cheerleader.
Really?
And also, like, she's brilliant. Yeah. Just very cautious.
So I can see why you were like cautious approaching her.
Oh my gosh, it was terrifying.
I mean, the rejection would have been devastating.
And now whenever I have a bad date on Facebook, I say something like, today sucked because this happened. My friends are all like, you're married to Leslie.
Yeah.
Get over it. You won. You married that.
Wow. That's cool. Aww. That's very cool. Sounds like a Jackie Collins novel.
They met in high school. The teacher's aide.
I'm so into her books right now. I can't even believe
Jackie
it.
Jackie Collins?
Yeah. People laugh at me for that. But I enjoy it so much, you know, because, I mean, there is a lot of sex in it and stuff, but it's more.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah. But she does weave the stories pretty well, you know. I mean, it's like there's a cliffhanger in every chapter.
Oh, that's great.
So she keeps me going, yeah. And I don't care
if
it's.
Keeps you wanting more.
Yeah. I don't care if it's directed at women. I'm like, you know. So I'm not the target market, but still I enjoy it, you know, and I'm a big reader, but sometimes I just want to get away, you
sure.
know.
Well, that's, you know, this, good, she's successful for a reason.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, her 46 languages, her
that's
you
amazing.
Know, things like that. God. Yeah. So, and she's written like, you know, I mean, I don't know how many books, maybe 40, 50 books or
yeah.
something. So, yeah, people are very productive. Some of the writers are very productive. They'll come out with a book every year or two, mm-hmm. you know.
Now, Stephen King is like
Stephen
that.
King
like
is like that.
Sneezes out
He's
books.
Got two new ones coming out this year.
Oh, my God.
Two
it's
new
crazy.
Ones.
Crazy.
I know.
It's a lot of writing.
I'll never live long after read his stuff.
I know. I'm telling you. Wow.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know what? I really like that women tend to like, it tends to be a woman's thing, but and for the same like trashy good reason I love it is The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Oh, like my that? God. My wife's like,
see,
try watching it with me. It's The Bachelor, The Bachelor.
I can't see that one.
it's like watching like a really, it is absolutely trashy junk food for your brain, but it's so entertaining. And Bachelor Pad's the best because with the other two, you know, Bachelor and Bachelorette, there's this veneer of like, it's a fairy tale. It's a, right. even though it's ABC paying for hooking up in exotic locations, but.
right, completely.
Completely. Like, let's go to the fantasy suite. You're going to go. Like, Disney's paying for you to do it in a hotel in Barbados. Shut up. but Bachelor Pad doesn't even have the pretense of like being a fairy tale. It's just like, here are some skeezy people who have who really want to have attention. Let's and they're all single and horny, and they want money, and they're backstabbing. Let's put them in a house together.
I've
and just
never
let them
seen
go.
Bachelor Pad.
Oh, it's good.
Is it
and
good?
I'm not a big Bachelor Bachelorette person. I do watch it, but I'm not as into it as other reality shows.
What's your reality show, Jen?
I like a lot. Total Divas, WWE one I was talking about earlier, and Eric and Jesse with Eric Decker from the Broncos. I do like The Housewives, all of that terrible.
Oh, that's trash.
I know. It's bad. It's bad, but I like it.
But it's fun, I mean, it's like chewing gum, you know?
It is.
I think I like it because you can watch it, and it's just, it makes me feel good about my life.
Yeah.
I just don't have that drama in my life that these ladies.
Yet.
Yet. I know. I'm a drama-free person for the most part. I hate, especially that kind of drama. It's just too much.
Right.
Yeah,
too much.
True.
It would, oh my God.
Yeah.
I would get anxiety being one of them.
See, I like more competition-based shows like Project Runway, Under
See,
the Gun.
See, they're like better. They really are better reality shows than watching someone's
better? House, I don't know. I mean,
life that lives in a $20 million house and is a housewife and doesn't do anything all day but drink wine at the pool.
Right.
Like, what a terrible life she has.
And let's film her and watch it.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Well, it's fascinating, you know.
Oh, I hate her. She's so bad. Let's watch some more. You know?
Right. It's completely.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, that's what The Bachelor and Bachelorette are like.
Exactly.
It's like, once you watch the first episode and you see these girls, it's like, well, now I want to know who wins.
Right. Well, we also have this thing where we try to pick the contestant, whoever the Bachelor or Bachelorette is, usually out of the previous
season.
Flock.
Yeah.
Right. And so we always have a game of who's it going to be. And half time it's somebody great, and half time it's somebody just like, oh, not this guy. Come on.
I saw the poster for the new season of The Bachelorette, and it said, who will be my... And then it was Juan from the last season of Bachelor. It was Juan Pablo. But
right.
Juan was crossed
awful.
Out and put Juan.
That's
like,
awesome.
The number one.
I,
Andy, who's a new bachelor, I think is actually very smart. I'm glad that she's a bachelor.
I liked her. Yeah.
She's bright. Even when my wife was like, well, you know, are we going to watch even though we don't like who the person is? I'm like, of course. It's actually better when you don't like them. Because like Jillian, she was an idiot. And I'm like, well, but I'm going to watch your train wreck because you know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it always does. It's so like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to, yeah, it's great. Okay. That's, yeah. Now my man card is actually, give me your man card. It's been long revoked, pal. The thing is, I'm married. I'm off the table. You know, it's like, I only have to impress one person.
That's true, yeah. So. And when did you guys meet again?
It was 2007.
2007.
Yeah.
So that was some time ago after you were in high school. I mean,
oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a while. It was.
Wow.
It was,
and
it
you
was
guys recognized each other? And
she recognized me.
Really? After
yeah.
all these years?
She saw me walking through the Astroburger and I was like, oh. And she's like, oh, I think I went to high school with that guy. Paul, is that you? And I'm like, oh, yeah.
So, wow. You see, yeah, when you're older, then you have, you're more, you know, you take chances more, you know. And,
I think
and
so.
And here she also approached you and everything, so it makes it a lot easier.
Well, I think you know yourself better.
Right.
Definitely.
You know, when you realize that this moment isn't the end all and be all of everything. In high school, you feel like that's it. This is just going to be like this the rest of your life.
That's
and you get
true.
Out. As you get older, I think you realize you become a little more confident because you're like, well, if this doesn't go well, this thing I'm going to try right now, in a week, I won't even remember it. I did it.
Right.
Or it'll be a funny story. Or, you know, you kind of get braver.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's cool. So you guys got together. What was she doing at the time?
She was working over at Paramount Pictures, which she still does.
In Denver?
No, she was. Oh, and when we
when you were there, when you remet.
We reconnected out here.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah, no, right by Paramount Pictures.
Oh, okay,
where she
works. That's okay.
You know, we both.
So how did you come back from?
We both
Colorado?
Came back out to be in the film industry.
Oh, okay.
She was acting for a while. She acts. She's she has a part in Favor, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
true. Find Leslie Wimmer Osborne in Favor. That's the new contest. And so she was. Then she decided she liked things better behind the scenes. So she was an independent producer, and then she also works at Paramount. And in marketing, and that's sort of so we had common ground to begin with.
Yeah,
it's really
yeah.
nice dating,
yeah.
and then marrying someone in the same business because she gets it.
Yeah,
or when she
true.
Has to work, I get it.
Yeah,
you know. Although when she has to work, it's like, yeah, I'm gonna go hang out with Harrison Ford and Tom Cruise. Like, that sounds terrible. I'm gonna be in a small editing bay by myself with a jar of peanut butter and a gun. I'm gonna use one of them. Yeah. Hopefully, it's the peanut butter.
Well, yeah, everybody gets their share, you know. So go ahead and promote the film again. It's called Favor.
Favor, yeah, like do a favor,
right? And it's a full feature film. And yeah, so I understand the favor is like when the guy comes to his friend and asks him. Okay, I get it now. Took me 50 minutes, but I figured it out.
Well, and then the guy who does the favor may start asking for some favors back.
Oh, okay.
That may escalate.
Yeah.
There may be other favors involved. I did you this favor. That's why they call it a favor. Maybe you could do me a favor.
Right.
That's so. It's there's many favors.
Right. Now, did it ever occur to you maybe I'll write a book before I do the film, before the screenplay?
You know, I'm so into movies.
Really?
Like, yeah, I feel like.
So you sat down to write a screenplay, not a book.
Oh, yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
gotcha.
I think, you know, it's funny, like, because I have a double, 2 degrees, actually. I have a degree in filmmaking. I have a degree in English, actually.
Oh, wow.
And I always, the novelist thing, because I love to write, the novelist thing is sort of the back burner career,
right.
But I love movies more. So I haven't really done it, but I figure at some point I'll be just too darn old to pick up a camera.
Right.
And then the novels will start pouring out. Or I just get really sick of it. Like, no one saw Favor on demand this week. That's it. I'm just going to go write novels. You know. But,
wow. So that's pretty cool. And you were able to raise all the money you needed on Kickstarter?
We raised the production funds on Kickstarter. I actually paid for the post-production myself. I closed an IRA.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wife was not okay.
I know. All usually the wives are looking at you like you're crazy. What are you doing spending our money, you know? But then eventually it succeeds and they go, oh, wow, you know.
We'll see. We
you're
hope
right.
So. We hope so. Next Tuesday, VOD.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, Favor. Make my wife happy.
Okay. So tell people again, they can go and watch it where?
It'll be available on – you can pre-order it now on iTunes. If you go to iTunes, movies, and you go to pre-orders, we're right there. April 22nd is a whole bunch of movies there. We're one of the ones listed. So you can pre-order it on iTunes right now. And if you pre-order it, that does really help. It'll be on iTunes, YouTube, Box Office Movies, which is a pay service on YouTube.
On YouTube. Oh, I didn't
on
realize
YouTube, yeah.
they have that.
Oh, yeah, they do. Wow. Shockingly enough. No, I don't know. People tend to go to, you know, iTunes and things like that. But it'll be on PS3, Xbox, Google Play, Vudu, Amazon, instant. It'll be on every major cable provider at DirecTV, AT&T, UVerse, Charter.
Wow.
Anything you have, pretty much, Verizon, Cox, all of those things. It'll be on Cox. Anything anything you have, it'll pretty much be on. And the better we do here, the more likely we'll get onto Netflix streaming.
That's
and
true.
Hulu Plus. Yeah. And
then maybe a studio
and then Showtime
up,
down
know?
The line.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the objective is to get a studio to pick it up or something, right?
Well, at this point, no. So it's already being distributed. But the first,
so it's too late.
The studio could pick me up,
right? That's true.
They could say, "Hey, this guy made a movie with nothing. Let's give him a little something and see what he can do." They can hire me to, Brad Pitt's new movie needs a script makeover. Let's hire Paul.
Yeah,
that favor was just the tits. Yeah. That movie. So it's for a little movie. I think this is appropriate.
Great. And give out the website again for the
website
film.
Is www.favormovie.com.
Okay.
And I'm on Twitter at Paul Makes Movies. I'm on Facebook at Paul Makes Movies. And I promise I won't unfriend you.
Sounds good.
Unless you're unless that guy from junior high. That
exactly. And you rant about Bush again or something.
Right. Also, Cadbury story. My family way, way back was the Cadbury family.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. And Lady Cadbury's daughter disowned the family and ran away with like the stableman, and that's my family.
Sounds good.
So none of the money, none of the chocolate, but all the acclaim of the name that we don't
have
anymore.
Well, on that note, we're going to wrap up. Paul Osborne, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank
you. You're a lot of fun. Everybody go out and check out the movie, favormovie.com, right?
Yes.
And go check it out. I'm looking forward to it. It sounds pretty interesting.
Oh, thanks. Thank
you. I'd like to see what you were able to do,
your
vision and stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. Charlotte, thanks.
Thank you.
I hope your hair maybe will get better. Does it usually happen that way?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it will.
What's wrong with your hair?
I'm having a
you
bad
see,
headache.
That's what I'm saying.
What's wrong with your hair?
Yeah. Nobody notices except you. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.